Thanks for coming. Anyone on YouTube? There's some people? Okay, thanks. Welcome. For those who are new, Charles, right? You don't know me, but I know you. Be careful. I always tell people, don't be scared. Just because we know each other, that's the good thing, Wing, about being a small church. We know who is coming and we want to say hi. So special shout out, Stephanie, good to see you. And a few other people, Barbara, good to see you. I want us to pray. We've got a member, actually it was my brother-in-law, Eddie. He's in hospital. I saw him, when I see him? I went on Friday, we were outside the room praying for him. We couldn't get in, but I understand that Nyap and my sister just went this afternoon. At least now we're able to see him. Pray for him. Beginning to be awake, is that a good representation? But I think there's still a lot of things the doctors are not sure what it is, doing MRIs and what have you. They've ruled out encephalitis, but I don't know what else it could be. I think there's some paralysis on the left side of his body. So let's pray. His name is Eddie. Some of you may have seen him sometimes, but just suddenly this thing happened. But we have to pray. There's only so much I can do. Sometimes I don't even know whether the doctors know what it is. They're just doing a process of elimination, right? MRI, eliminate this, eliminate, and then hopefully they come a resolution. But God is sovereign. Can we just take a time, just pray for him? Let's come to a time of prayer. His name is Eddie. Father, thank you for Eddie. We commit him to you. We pray for your diagnosis. We pray, oh God, that you will just come through for this man. We know that he's in pain. He may even be in tears. But God, he knows you, and that's a comfort to both the wife, to himself, and to the family, and to this church. So as we pray, even as we just come before you, we ask, oh God, that you do something in this life, through this life, so that your name will be glorified. So we commit and we declare healing. We pray for restoration. We pray that the mental faculties, his cognitive abilities, and his physical functions will be restored in Jesus' name. And I pray, oh God, that you do something new in this life. We commit him to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for being time. Chris and Denise, good to see you. As usual, we're going to start with giving someone an opportunity. I told this sister, I read her testimony to me. I said, this one looks like it's going to be a short one. But sometimes short and sweet is good, right? We ask Sharon to just come forward. Come, can we invite Sharon just for a while? Come.
I thank God for the many blessings and his protection in my life. So this one was when I was in primary school. So I was in upper primary. So what happened was I was in a traffic junction. So, you know, waiting for the green man to come. Red light. So, okay, red light. I was alone. And so it was red light and then this green man. I was about to cross to the other side. And then suddenly I heard a voice in front of me say, stop. Then I was like, a bit stunned. Then before I knew it, 1 second later, right, one car just sped by. I know you do F1, but it really feels like it. Then I like stunned like vegetable, and then I shot like now also. So I thank God for saving my life. And that time I wasn't a Christian, but I think it was really God who protected me, and I can hear him. And Daniel, for you, it's like for doctors, healthcare workers, there's this picture in my old church that brings lots of comfort to us. So you can Google online, is Jesus being with you? So there's this picture you can Google. In the operating theater, Jesus is next to the doctor, the surgeon holding the hand. It brings lots of comfort to us because sometimes, like what you mentioned, we don't really know what's going on. I don't know whether that's the right thing to say. But we do elimination. So, and it's good to have a divine, I call it like intervention, and to tell us what may be wrong. And it's always cool that Jesus is there, because I think in this COVID setting, it's quite scary when the loved ones cannot enter in, not like last time. I mean, last time when I gave birth to Ryan, the whole kampong was there. So, but now it's different. So it's of great comfort, I think, to hopefully to the family, that Jesus is there.
Checkpoint 2. The second part, I didn't think you should talk about it, but hey guys, is this cool or what? of all, think of all days to for someone to come and give a testimony. You get someone who is from the medical fraternity. It's not like this whole church all doctors, no. She's the only one, not even doctors and dentists. Dentists, very economical with words, just want to drill your teeth. And she comes and gives her comfort. So I pray that's comfort to Joe and to Nyap and even for ourselves. I mean, only God can engineer this. I get a medical person to come. And isn't that a very good imagery? That when he's alone, he's not alone because God will be with him. I mean, you can't be there all the time, right? But when at night, when he's resting in the NUH ward, God is with him. So thank you, Sharon. It's really divine. I couldn't have engineered it, Shireen. I happily just pick people for today you give testimony, tomorrow you give, not knowing what we know. Sometimes we don't know a lot, but God knows everything. So let it be comfort to all of us as we come. You're Pauline, right? Pauline, I know you, you don't know me. Charles is all scared. Well, who this person? I'm not God. I only know you because of the list. But as you come, we welcome you. But this is the church and the family of God. When we come together, something happens. And if this is not God, I don't know what is. It is God just coming through and telling us things that only us human beings, when we're receptive to God, He's able to just do something in our lives. Amen? Let's go to the Word of God. And today we bring to the end what I've been talking about in this series that we've been doing on the man of potential. And today I want to end with Samson, but I think I'm going to just take some detours, which is quite common. I always tell people, you can prepare all you want, but if God wants to do a detour, you let God do what He wants. This is God's house. When you hear from Him, you do what He wants to do. But look at the book of Judges, and I want to just go where we left off the last time. I was talking about Samson, and I wanted to just introduce a word to you guys, a word that may be new to some of us. Some of you may not even know this word, but this word is good. This word is potential, right? But let me go down the line. Where is that thing? Can you go to that slide that I had the last time? You go down, what to do, potential, go strip down the few lines, go to the word potentiate, strip down. The last two slides that I had the last time. 1, 2, 3, yes. I want to introduce the word to you, potentiate. Who knows the word potentiate? I didn't even know it exists until I was thinking about it, Barbara. I think the word potentiate is very important. You know the word potential. The word potential, the root word is potent, but it's a word called potentiate. What do you do with your potential? The word is potentiate. Teacher, know this word? First time, right? You know this word? Wow, you're a good teacher. Potentiate is to cause something to be more potent. If I say potentiate, later I'll show you how it's used. To definition, all lawyers, we should have definitions. To potentiate is to cause to be more potent, more powerful, to enhance, to raise, to heighten, to intensify. I give an example, next slide. A poet's work may be potentiated by his experience of war and suffering. What does that mean? So if a poet who has gone through war and suffering, that experience of war and suffering enhances, makes his work more powerful, raises the quality of the work. Why? Because he has gone through war and suffering. If Wing, you are a poet, and then your wife is also a poet, and both of you write on war, but you have gone to Afghanistan and you fought in the war, Sabrina, the only war she has is fighting on Fortnite. Who has a better chance of telling us about war? Answer, Wang, because Wang has gone through war. So a poet's work may be potentiated by his experience of war and suffering. Potent because you've gone through something. So the experience. So a believer's work may also be potentiated by his being with the One. And again, I didn't plan this because Sharon, you went off script. You talk about things that I didn't know you talk about. You talk about Jesus being with us, isn't it? Being with the One. Isn't that what the sentence is staring at you now? A believer's work may be potentiated by his being with the One. When we are with God, you are more powerful, you are more potent, you are enhanced in the thing you do. And that word is also tied with the word potential, right? You're able to fulfill your potential when you are in God. And if we are all alone sometimes when there's no one around, but you are able to just know, and you know within your spirit and you can feel His presence, isn't that a lovely feeling? So I want us to really think about potential. When you talk about potential, it's about being potent, Barbara. Being potent, being more powerful. But your work may be potentiated by his experience of war and suffering. A believer's work may be potentiated by his being the one. And later on, I talked about the fact that when we do, if you look at the mystery of Jesus, he's always being with. Not only do you want to be with Jesus, but we as believers, when we do the work of God, we want to be with someone. Being with is so important. And later on, the track back. So just hold that thought with me. And after this, you can don't look at the slides anymore. I think the slides are not going to help you. I want to tell a story now about Samson. I talked about Samson last week, right? Samson is firstly a strong man, very strong man. Look at Wayne. Wayne looks like Samson, right? Look at Gunn. Gunn doesn't look like Samson. So very strong, very powerful. But he's got a problem. He's got a flaw in character. He's weak because his eyes tell him something. He wants it. He takes it. So the wife, he say, very pretty, some chio bu, I will take as a wife. I've seen a Philistine woman, Judges 14:2. I now get her for me as my wife. And the husband, the father and mother duly obliged. But guess what? And this is not something that you saw, but I'll tell you now, you don't have to read it. But Judges 14 say, despite Samson choosing the wife just by eye candy, but Judges 14:4 says that his parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines, for at the time they were ruling over Israel. I think it's interesting. So in his very human and secular mindset, Samson wants to choose a wife just based on looks alone. So he chose Miss Philistine. Do you understand? The prettiest one, number one, take. See, I like, I take. I want, I see, I like, I take. Sounds a bit of the culture today, right? I see, I like, I buy. Philistine, Miss Philistine, I see, I like, I take as a wife. His parents did not know that this was from God, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines. So God can use anything. So in this opportunity that God had, God was going to use that as an occasion. I'll skip a bit. I don't have time today, but after that, we knew that Samson had a few brushes with a few things here and there. Number one, he went to a swarm of bees, saw some honey scooped for himself and ate. He gave them to his parents as well. But he was not supposed to touch the dead. Because he was raised a Nazarene, a Nazarite dedicated to God from the tomb, he will take the lead in delivering Israel. But there are some house rules that you're not supposed to touch the dead. Not was he supposed to cut his hair. So these are some of the things that were the rules that he's supposed to engage, house rules, but he broke them all. Just took it. 30 of the people that were, I think, his best men, he teased them by giving a riddle. Didn't want the answer. The wife bugged him to give the answer, and he did. After that, the wife herself was given away to someone else as a wife, as a companion. In chapter 15, Samson was so angry at the Philistines because what happened was the wife, he went back to the wife's home. The father would not let him go in. That was in Judges 15, I'll paraphrase for you. When the Philistines came, who did this? Samson said to them, this time I have a right to get even the Philistines. I will really harm them. So he went out and caught 300 foxes, tied them on tails. Take 300 foxes, tie them on tails, Judges 15, lit the torches and let the foxes loose. He burned up everything. After that, the Philistines tried to look for him. Even the people from Judah also tried to help the Philistines to try to find him because he was trouble, man, Samson. The very person who was supposed to save the people of Judah was being a person that was trouble to the people from Judah himself. Judges 15, 300 people, men, 3,000 men from Judah went down to the cave and said to Samson, don't you realize that the Philistines are rulers over us? What have you done to us? Why are you causing so much trouble for us? Samson was really angry. He says, okay, never mind. You can bring me to the Philistines, but whatever you do, just don't kill me, okay? Bring me to them. Agreed, they say, we'll only tie you up and hand over to you. We will not kill you. So they bound him, they sent him to the Philistines. And Samson, being so strong, used one fresh jawbone of a donkey, he struck 1,000 men. So that was another example of the strength of this man. But notice something. When he was doing all these things, he was strong, but he was operating out of weakness. He's a strong man, but operating out of weakness. There's a defect in his character and it's manifesting. So I would suggest to you that at all times when he's doing this, he's operating the flesh. But guess what? Despite him operating in the flesh, God was still very merciful to him. Judges 15, 18, he was very thirsty that time. He cried out to God, "You've given your servant this great victory. Must I now die of thirst and fall to the hands of the Philistines?" And God opened up the hollow place and water came out of it. God was still with him. End of Judges 15, Samson was leading Israel for 20 years. Fast track. Samson, now having no wife, started to sleep around. Went to Gaza, saw a prostitute, spent the night with her. After that, chapter 16, verse 4, fell in love with a woman whose name was Delilah. Now this one was really trouble. Comes to Delilah, and the rulers of the Philistines went to Delilah and said, "I tell you what, why don't you lure him to show the secret of his great strength, and we will certainly reward you." So again, to cut the long story short, because today I don't want to spend too much time on this, on three occasions, Delilah tried to tell Samson, "Can you please tell me the secret of your strength? What is your trade secret?" So on two occasions, Samson obviously pulled a fast one on her, didn't tell her the real reason. And then on the third time, this time she told her everything, right? And this is at chapter 16, verse 15, Judges 16, 15. She said to him, "How can you say I love you when you won't even confide in me? Why don't you tell me what's the secret of you being so strong? This is the third time you have made a fool of me." Judges 16, verse 15. "This is the third time you have made a fool of me and have not told me the secret of your great strength." With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was sick to death of it. That's also a weakness in character, isn't it? Nothing against the woman, but if the only thing you do is to reveal a secret because you are being nagged and nagged and nagged and nagged, isn't that a defect in character? What's wrong with Samson? Is it only because he likes women? I suggest to you it's deeper than that. Chris, Denise got nagged. Nagged and nagged and nagged and nagged until you give something. If you have, later come up for ministry. But if the man only gives up because he's being nagged at, that in itself is a character fault. And that was what drove him to give away the secret. He was not supposed to tell, he told, and this was the entry point. And this was what was going to happen to him. So finally, Samson told Delilah the secret. Judges 16, verse 17. "So he told her everything. 'No razor has ever been used on my head because I've been a Nazarite dedicated to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me and I would become as weak as any other man.'" So now Delilah knows the truth. Is Delilah the Tom Jones song? Tom Jones sang one song, right? My Delilah. Your age, one. "When Delilah saw that he had told everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, and then they came to him. After putting to sleep, Judges 16, 19 called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him. And this time, the word of God says, and his strength left him." For real this time. Not the last time whereby you try to do this, whatever funny things. It's nothing to him. He can rise up and he can fight you. Verse 20, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep. He didn't know that his hair was cut. He thought, "I will go out as before and shake myself free." But he did not know. Judges 16, verses 20. Judges 16, 20. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. That's a scary thought. He didn't know. He was operating the flesh. He was so complacent. He was so old. He's so full of himself. He thought, 我要风得风，要雨得雨. Chris, see me sigh. I want, I get. Whatever I want, I get. Nobody's going to touch me. You, never mind. Sleep when I wake up, I will be able to fight them. You wake up thinking you're doing it. But he did not know his hair was already cut. The strength had left him. Actually, more importantly, God had left him. You don't want to be in a situation where God leaves you. So this is what has happened to him, but God had left him. Judges 16, verse 21, "Then the Philistines seized him." What did they do? They gouged out his eyes. I don't know how they did it in old times. I don't suppose they have any anesthesia or whatever. They just stick and they took out his two eyes. So without his eyes, they gouged him. They took him to Gaza, and binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding grain in the prison. So now, Samson, the strong man, is now a blind man. Not only blind, sometimes when we say blind, if someone is blind, the eyeballs are still there, right? Blind, I just can't see. But this one is blind, but the eyes are gouged out. So there are two hollows in there. And I've seen a picture before. I think there's some picture in the slide as well. There's a picture of Samson blind, but I've seen another one when I was reading when all these pictorial Bibles, he was grinding in the prison. So he's like there's this like a circular thing. He was just holding this thing and he's grinding in the prison. So you know what he does? Whole day just grind. Like that. Shackles, my friend. Shackle, grind. That's Samson. The man who was supposed to take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines. You would have thought that the purpose that God had for his life is kapoof, finish, right? No chance. But God had other plans. And this is what you need to know. If you forget, Lynette, anything I say, remember this. Judges 16:22. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. The hair on his head, because he was botak, no strength, right? But the hair can come back. The Philistines didn't know that. You just think you cut one time. Even with Delilah, Delilah didn't know that. You cut one time, but when the hair come back, his strength will also come back. So there's hope for Samson, and therefore there's hope for the Israelites. But I want to ask something. And this is interesting for us. When you are down and out, when your eyes have been gouged out, and a lot of us have gouged out eyes moment in our lives, do we not? Maybe my sister now feels like her eyes have been gouged out. When the chips are down, when everything looks so bleak, when you think God, at that point in time, when he was going round, what was Samson thinking? What is in the mind of Samson? Barbara, what do you think Samson was thinking? Did Samson say, I have given up, my eyes, I can't even see? Or is he beginning to reflect and say, God, are you still able to use me? Are you hearing me? What is in the mind of Samson? The Bible doesn't tell us, but I like to think he's beginning to think, because when his hair grows back, does he know? His hair is beginning to grow back. I submit to you, I think he knows. His hair is growing back, right? He begins to know that the strength may come back to him. But if you are mentally weak, spiritually downtrodden, what would you be thinking? You'd be thinking, God, I'm going to just die like an animal. He was an animal in the prison at the time. And if you read further down in Judges 17, he was then brought out to entertain the Philistines. No chance. Kapoof. Finish. There's nothing for me. But what was in his mind when he was grinding? I like to think he, number one, I'm sure there's some point, he wants to get back at the Philistines who gouged out his eyes. Number two, I like to think also that he is having a reflection, and because now really so much time, right, he is beginning to commune with God again. And there's a chance, maybe God is also beginning to talk to him, that he will still ultimately fulfill what God wants him to do. In our lives, sometimes our eyes are gouged out. Something has happened in our life. You feel hopeless. You feel like you've come to the end, right? But that is not the last word. An illness for your loved one is not the last word. You being blind is not the last word. Your eyes being gouged in the last word. Chris, when your right knee got hit the accident, that was not the last word. Actually, if your right knee was not busted, you won't be in church. Is that correct? The only reason why they came to church is because they came to me. After that, they came to church. But in order to come to church, not that they wanted to, they had to have an accident. Not that. They had an accident. Had an accident, come to see me. After come to see me, come to church. So the last word was not you, right knee, busted. If you have given up hope at the time, say, 死了,这次死了,我的膝盖没有,我和我的老婆,两个都,你膝盖痛,你的颈痛, you are both a couple, pain in the neck, nothing else to do, can't do anything. Is that the last word? That is not the last word. And I want to encourage us, are you like Samson? I think he was thinking, say, God, are you going to still fulfill your destiny for my life? Are you with me? He didn't give up. Do you get the impression he was giving up? I don't get the impression, but he was really, I think, plotting what he was going to do. Read with me. In chapter 16, 23, now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and celebrate. Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. When the people saw him, they praised their god, saying, our God has delivered our enemy to our hands, the one who laid waste our hand and multiplied our slain. I want to tell you something too. Guys, if we don't care for ourselves, how we lead our lives, then maybe we should care for God's reputation. Someone can look at Shireen and say, you mean Shireen, you Christian? Like that also can. Then your eyes get gouged out or whatever the moment is, and guess what? People are singing praises of their gods and they're ridiculing Shireen, and therefore Shireen's God. Are you with me? The reputation is not only of Shireen, but the God that is behind Shireen. Here, are they laughing only at Samson? They are laughing at the God behind Samson, isn't it? They are praising their own God. Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. We have won. Election over, we have won. 74.6%. We have won. So if you look at the whole thing in context, it's gone. There's nothing else. Finished. Finito. Habis. Mianseng liao. Can go home. Die. Samson, not going to achieve what God said he would achieve. But guys, please understand, God's word when given will not return void, because God said in 13:6, he will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines. But guess what? When God said that, the parents heard it, right? Samson would have appropriated it, but God is not going to tell you, you will deliver Wing, you will go and do something in this country. But guess what? If God tells you that you have a lot of trouble and maybe, Wing, your eyes will be gouged out, no? Or that equivalent, you'll face trouble. Will you do it? You won't. Just like when Gideon was told that he's going to be the mighty man to deliver, he didn't know that he had to go through, he didn't know that he would have 32,000 men, drop to 10 and drop to 300. He didn't know. Neither when, was it Deborah the prophetess who told Barak who didn't do it, it was going to be a woman. We didn't know that it was going to be a woman, this Jael, who will come and take a hammer and pack and just drive it into Sisera the general's skull and therefore have victory. A lot of things we don't know. You only know that you have potential and you will potentiate your experience. So is Samson now going through experience? He is going through what? He's like the poet, right? His work is going to be potentiated by what? Is he suffering? Hey, not funny, grinding in Changi prison. Shackles keep going on and on and on and on. And guess what? He have to come out and entertain some more. Treated like an animal, he comes out now. While they were in high spirits, they shouted, bring out Samson to entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison and he performed for them. I don't know what he was asked to do, man. Perform for them. Do what? Do the blind dance. I don't know. But can you imagine the shame? Can you imagine the humiliation? Can you imagine what he was going through? No eyes. Eyes gouged out. Shackled. We won. Our enemies with us. Nah, 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 boo, boo. And then go and grind the grain. And now, we drink enough Bordeaux already. Come out, Judy. Perform for us. That is the man God will use. Are you with me? God uses the down and out. But you cannot be so down and out that you forget that your potential is to be actualized. You understand? When you use the word potentiate, why is a poet's work potentiated by that war and suffering? Because he has gone through. When you have suffered, you are in a position, no, you are all prime. You are not complacent anymore. Before that, was Samson complacent? He was complacent. He thought he can do anything. He can tie the 300 foxes and then did it like a fireworks and then run all around. He can take the lions, he can kill them. In one fresh jawbone, he can kill 1,000 men. He was operating fully in the flesh. There was no God. Was there God in the picture when he did all things? I submit to you, not. And he didn't even know that God left him. Right? Until he woke up and God actually left him. But when he was grinding, I submit to you, he's beginning to think. Is that fair? He's beginning to reflect. And I want to ask all of us, when you are down and out, will you come back to God or will you say, I'm done, I give up? Is that the last word? Or will you fulfill the potential God has for you? That's why the word potentiate, to be potent, to be important enough to cause something to happen, because you say, God, not your will, not my will, but your will be done. I want to tell you something that I found interesting. I want to read this to you. Let me find that page. God alone, listen, it's not in the slides. That's why I say today, the slides no use. God alone knows how to exalt you without flattering you. God alone knows how to humble you without humiliating you. Meaning that he knows how to exalt you so that your head won't become so big. Yet at the same time, he knows how to humble you without humiliating you to the extent that you will give up. You understand? Here, was Samson humiliated? Answer, total. No face, no IV. Don't worry about no eyes, no nothing. Humiliated beyond whatever. But did he give up or was he going to say, God, I'm going to do this? And that, my friend, is something I want to leave as a thought. Because our life, how many more years? I don't know when. Everything now, life's so interesting, right? That day I just bought chicken rice. Two chicken rice, one kiam chai, $17. I think I'll stop eating chicken for some time. Today I want Margaret Drive. Do you know Margaret Drive got one very good white chicken? You know that old, the Beo Crescent there? Hey, Stephanie, you know, I went down there, close. Temporary close. If you want, the notice board, very, I won't say sarcastic. You know, the door board say temporary close. If you want to satisfy your craving, go to our main branch at 40 Holland Drive. At 35 degrees hot, I won't go. I say, Karen, can we eat duck? God will know. God alone knows how to exalt you without flattering you. So God can, for example, say, Leslie, good job, you're doing well, but he won't praise Leslie until your head becomes so big. Or he will not humble you to the extent that there's total humiliation, to that extent that you will not do what he wants you to do with your life. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple so that I may lean against them. Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there. All, huh? And on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. So he's got a captive audience. Everyone is watching him. Then listen to his prayer. Samson prayed to God, Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. Then Samson reached towards the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on one and the left hand on the other. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus, he killed many more when he died than while he lived. In that 5 minutes, he killed, I don't know how many Philistines. Not only how many, he killed the prime minister. I'm not talking about any country. He killed the prime minister, the deputy prime minister, he killed the minister, but all died. The whole cabinet, all sapu finished. All died. One shot. Did he fulfill what God said he will fulfill in his life? He will lead the Israelites out of the clutches of the Philistines? The answer is yes. God used Samson. Ultimately, from a position of strength, He was a man of strength, right? But he had weakness. But God allowed that weakness to fester, and thereafter, there was strength in the weakness when he came to the end of himself. When he came to the end of himself, when his hair was cut, when he, I can fight again, he knew the strength left him, but the hair started to grow. He started to reconcile back to God. He knew he was going to still do what God was going to do. He said to God, God, one more time, sovereign God. Sovereign is important. Sovereign means God, he is sovereign, he knows everything. That's our God. He will do it. Whatever your eyes gouged out moment, whatever you have through. And in life, Stephanie, please, anyone got no problems, you are deluded beyond belief. Everybody's got problems. But as we come before God, know that this is a God that's able to use us, that's able to bless us, and that's able to be with us. I want to read a poem for you that I thought was interesting. Samson was blind, right? Correct? Eyes gouged out. In verse 26, he said, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, put me where I can feel the pillars. So he had a PA. This poem is called The Boy Who Held His Hand. They gouged them out, the eyes. At first, I could not bear to look. This is the boy who leads Samson. They gouged them out. At first, I could not bear to look, empty and raw and cruel. I would not look, the shock of emptiness, knowing that he would not see. I watched the shaven head bowed low, rocking with the rhythm of the grindstone. Round, round, round. I watched the needless shackles, heavy and hard, biting the flesh that needs no binding. Now, it does not matter that his eyes are gone, I am his eyes. Because he's blind, right? Someone needs to lead him. His eyes, I'm his eyes, he sees through me, he has to see through me, there is no other way. And I've wept the tears he cannot weep. When you got no, hey nurse, tell me, got no eyes can cry, nah? Cannot cry. No eyes, no tear glass, no nothing, right? Or dentist, no tear ducts, I presume. And I wept the tears he cannot weep. So the boy says, I'm weeping for him. Samson is suffering, but in the time of reflection, as he grinds, he is beginning to come back to God. For all those careless years, and I've learned to love this broken man, while he has learned at last to fear his God. So, I am not afraid to die, happy to be his eyes this one last time. Do you think that the boy also died when Samson brought everything down? You think he survived? Taking his hand, leading with practiced care, step by guided step into the place where he can pray, Lord, O sovereign Lord, and as the pillars fall, I cry, Amen. I didn't think I'll say this, but I also want to say to you, when you are down and out, God will send that boy. God will send someone to encourage you. You cannot cry, God will send someone to cry for you. God will be with us. In his last 5 minutes, Samson did more for his people than he had done in all the years of his life. 5 minutes. God, sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. Let me die with the Philistines. Potentiate. Can I just go back to the slide? A believer's work may be potentiated by his being with the one. If you believe in God, and you are with him, he can use you. I'm going to end with this and think with me. Jesus was on earth 33 years, correct? I suggest to you, 1 week, he was working for us. That 1 week, he needed to die on the cross. By the time you finish everything, he took 1 week, he was working for us. Okay? when he began his ministry at 30, for about 3 years, he was working with us, meaning with the disciples, he was working with them because of the kingdom and so forth. But from the time of birth, year 1 to year 30, where was he? He was with the people, S11 coffee shop, Jerusalem, hanging out, La Kopi, do carpenter, oh Judy, you need your chair, come, I repair for you. No GST, la, never mind, 2%, do the chairs and whatever. He was with the people. I submit to you that in his 33 years of life, 1% of his life, he worked for us. Make sense? 1 week out of 33 years, 1%, about 1%, Ivy, he was working for us. When you work for someone, actually you don't need to see the person. Lynette, if you're working for someone, actually you don't need to see the person. You're working for someone. You can work for someone who is maybe based in London. Don't you see the person working for someone? When you're working with someone, you're with that person. Right? But his life, 30 years, Jesus was with the people, being with. Why is that important? Number one, understand. When we all go to heaven, I've got a question for you, God. When we all go to heaven, are there any more problems? Any more wars? Any more expensive chicken rice? I think Apple iPhones still have. I don't know which version by then. The things that we make here, will they still be applicable in heaven? I like to think some of the things that we make will still be used. Heaven on earth, this earth as we know now is rotten, right? Climate change and blah, blah. But when the new Jerusalem comes here, this earth may be different, correct? No problems. No marriage. Owen will meet Sharon and say, how are you? But God would have rewired you. You're no longer husband and wife. Yeah, I'm not saying use an excuse now to, hey, I'm not on. Please, you try that, I'll kill you. But during that time, God would have wired you. You understand? No problems, no whatever. Now, when we go to heaven, when we are back with Him in eternity, what is more important? Work for, work with, or being with? The stats of Jesus' life already tell you. 90% He was being with. You understand? Year 1 to 30. He started working for, working with, at 30 to 33. And then the last week, when He had to be crucified, He was working for you and I. What's more important is for us to understand the being with. You need to understand that. That is the mystery of the mystery of the mystery of the Jesus ministry. It's not a mystery. Look at Him. He's spending time, year 1 to 30, He was being with the people. When you go up to heaven, there are no more troubles. So you don't need to work for anything else, right? You're just going to be there being with God, being with His people. When you are a believer, you have potential. You do whatever God wants you to do now on earth is heaven now. But at the end of the day, when we go back to God, when we all go home, what do we have? We have being with God in heaven. There is nothing else. To some extent, does it make sense that Samson came to the end of himself and he was with God? He was with God when he was grinding. He spent time with God. I like to think so. He was reconciling with God. He was making it right. And he did what God wanted to do with his life. Is Samson part of the book of faith in Hebrews? Can you go with me to Hebrews? I think it's Hebrews 11:32. Can someone go to me, Hebrews 11:32? And tell me whether Samson's name is there. I think his name is there. Hebrews 11:32, the annals of the halls of faith of the people that God said were people of faith. And what more shall I say? Hebrews 11:32. I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, and so forth. Samson is another one. Flawed character, deeply flawed, yet at the same time, a man of faith. Potentiate. Are you going to do? Are you going to be so potent? Are you going to be so powerful? Are you going to enhance? Are you going to raise and intensify? Because of your experience. Now, God allow all of us to go through the problems we have, that eye-gouging moments for a time such as this. Rise up. Just talking with Olivia. Olivia not only lost her job, just had an accident some more. Come and see me, accident. Like you, accident. A lot of people I know through accidents, but this one not so major. What is God's potential? Will she potentiate? Will she do what God will want her to do in her life? But God has a different story for all of us. My sister Jo needs to go through whatever she's going through now. I go through my children. Clarissa go through whatever. Everybody. But along the way, will you fulfill the potential? Wing says he's like a small Gideon. Don't bluff me. Small and you, the word don't come together. He says he's a small Gideon. He's trying to, I don't know whether can do these things with 300. God says to us, 300 is more than enough. Give you too much. How much chicken rice you want to eat? I think it's good. All of us should eat less. Don't overcook. I'm going to start planting. I'm going to tell my wife, I want to learn how to plant. Jasmine, can you teach me? I've got a little garden. I want to plant vegetables. I want to be self-sufficient. I want to plant kangkong. Then Judy, live near your house, come and buy friendship rice. The world is coming to an end soon, right? Don't you feel it? I don't know when. I'm not prophet of doom. But all the signs tell me that he's coming soon. I don't know when, but I feel a hearkening in my spirit. Owen, do you feel that the time is coming? Do you feel, Wing? Are we going home soon? Where are we going? What do you do there? Being with. Barbara, want to go there? Get baptized. Be with him. That's all I look forward to. We should live our lives as if today, if God says you go home tomorrow, there's no regrets. Because you have fulfilled your potential. Did I not start by saying this? The only thing you want to have zero account of when you die is bank account, hopefully, Shereen, got some money, leave for your kids, pizza, leave something. Oh. Potential? Zero. Because you have done everything God has asked you to do. Are you with me? Samson, potential, when he died? Zero. He did it in 5 minutes. Phew. As I read that, it reminded me of what Jesus said, right? In 3 days, the temple will come down. Isn't this a precursor? Samson, push, 3 days, collapse. He delivered the Israelites. He did what God told his parents he will do. Will you be like Samson? Will you be small Gideon? Do what God wants you to do. Today, the ministry is very simple, and I want you to come forward. If you want to full potential, we've been people praying, Sabrina, tell me otherwise. There have been people praying for this service as well. And the word today, and I thought it's a good word, and I tell Karen and Jasmine, can you please come forward? I want us to get ready for ministry. Let me just read what I think could be the word today as we come to the end. God wants to heal those who weak will. They may have low self-esteem. They feel like no matter what they do or how hard they try, they're never good enough. When we talk about that, it's like you can't fulfill your potential. And maybe they feel like God cannot use them. And some of us, God cannot use because maybe the perceived weakness will come from some rejection from childhood. Which is why I think it's very important that in the weeks and the months to come, guys, not only do we have all these Sunday services, Saturday services, which is obviously good, we need to come a point in time whereby we spend some time. It may well be even a Saturday morning or something, especially the newer ones. You need to come together, and some things we need to talk about and minister to each other. Our past. Some of us have family backgrounds, and some things that have happened to us, perhaps you don't even know about it, has affected us in the way we operate now. I know some people who you can tell very defensive. Maybe they have been hurt before in some BG or whatever, very defensive. You can't, when you talk to them, everything seems fine, but there's a like a perimeter you can't get through. And some of us may have been hurt. Some of us may have even been physically or whatever abused previously, and you cannot forgive someone. I think as men or women, we need to deal with this. And some of us may have past relationships that have caused us a lot of hurt. But if we don't deal with them, we cannot fulfill the potential God has for us. Make sense? And I think as the church grows, that's something that I want to think about, and we want to really, of course, sisters ministering to sisters, men ministering to men. For example, I want to minister to Chris. Chris may be last time believing in other gods, but we need to deal with what the past is. Doesn't make him a bad man. What was my experience? My mother used to bring me to temple, and I will be holding things like all those little things that are supposed to protect me. I had to deal with those things in my life. You understand? So those are some things I want to tell you that as the church grows, we'll do. Why are we doing all things? In the larger scheme of things, we want us to fulfill our potential. Be that Gideon that God can use. Be that Samson as you grind. Even with your eyes gouged out, you say, God, use me. Fulfill your purposes in my life. There's none so weak that God can't use. Everybody God can use. But God also gives us different talents. That's why some were given one talent, two talents, and five talents, the servants, right? But all of them did what God asked them to do. We're going to sing this song, Build My Life. I want you to start coming forward. Wayne, come forward. I want to pray for us. Those who feel like you want to, not feel like, you want to fulfill God's potential for you. And along the way, some eyes have been gouged out, you know? Not that you become blind, but you understand what I'm saying? There have been difficulties, but you keep focusing on God. God says, that's not the last word. Your eyes gouged out. That's not the last word. I can use you. I want you to come forward. So Wing and whoever else, I've got people who are new, right? Is it Vernice and Jim? If you are comfortable, I want Dawn to lead you forward. Doesn't have to be a believer. I want to pray for you. Pray that God will touch your life, that God will use you. And those who feel like, God, I need you to help me. My husband is sick. My house is not well, whatever. And some of you leaders, you may even feel, hey, I don't feel adequate. I'm a cell leader. I don't feel like I can do this job. It's difficult. Of course it is. But half the battle is won. We say, God, I'm weak. Because when you say you're weak, what does the Word of God say? You'll be made strong. Because God's power can come. Correct? When we are weak, He is strong. So I want to pray for you. As you come, we're going to sing this song, Build My Life. When you come, Wayne, come forward. I want you to come forward. Those people who say, God, use me, my life, fulfill my potential, whatever it is. And those things that are troubling you in the weeks, in the months to come, work through it. And the church wants to work through you. Let's pray. And as I pray, with no one looking around, I want to invite you to come up for ministry. Father, thank you for this word. As we bring this word to an end, Father, potentiate, cause the potential to be fulfilled. Cause my brother and sister, as we come to the end of our lives, be not like King Hezekiah. When you give us additional 15 years, Lord, help us to use it for your glory. So Father, thank you. We pray that, Lord, you use your people. And for those of us who feel like we are unable to do something because we are weak, Lord, your word says, when we are weak, you are strong. So God, come and bless your people. So the altar is open. Don't have to look at other people. You just come, make your way here. And as a brother or sister, we pray for you. Ask God to do something in your life. Will you come? Can we all stand as we come?
worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Jesus.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. No one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder, show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Ask you to come forward. Wayne, come forward. I want to pray. Don't be ashamed. Just come forward. I want to pray for people. God, I want to fulfill potential. You're not praying for God to gouge your eyes out. But I tell people, guys, you don't need to pray for trouble, but the Word of God says in this world, I guarantee you now, you come forward, right? 我跟你讲, 这个世界, confirm double, triple chop, there'll be trouble. I'm not asking you to come here to pray for trouble, but look, you don't need to pray for trouble. There'll be trouble in this world anyway. But will God fulfill the potential for you in your life? So I ask you to come forward, and we ask some of the people to just come forward and pray. All right? Just come forward.
Show me who you are. to those around me. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you.
That the cell leaders and those people who are holding leadership position, I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God is going to use you powerfully to fulfill potential. So those who are in some leadership position, you're a council member, I want my sister to come forward. I want some of the cell leaders, cell members to come pray for her, Li Ying and the rest, Lynette, Judy. I want you to lay hands and pray for my sister. Pray for Eddie. But I want the cell leaders to come forward, TG come forward. Yep, come forward. People who, Clarissa, come forward. Those people who are leading, Shireen, you are part of a cell leadership. Come forward. I want to pray for you in Jesus' name. Can you just come? As you pray, I want you to pray and ask that the Lord come build my life upon your love. I will build my life. Sing this.
I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will build my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken.
Father, thank you. And for those of you who are here, be it as a cell leader or as a person that's been asked to just pray for someone, I ask that you pray for yourself first. Pray for yourself, and as you pray, as you sing the Holy Spirit song, be filled with the Holy Spirit, like Samson. But know this, because if you believe in God, in the New Testament, the Spirit is not going to leave you. Be assured, you can have the Holy Spirit. He's with you all the time. Holy Spirit, come. Bless your people. Cell leaders, receive the Holy Spirit afresh. Say you need Him.
Love you, Holy Spirit. You captivate my soul. And every day I grow to love you more.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit. You captivate my soul, and every day I grow to love you. I'm reaching for your heart. You hold my life in your hands. Draw to you. I feel your power renew. Nothing compares to this place when I can see you face to face.
Bring the service to the end. Can you lift your hands before the Lord? Now listen, for some of you who may be new to this, my brother Wing fell under the touch of the Holy Spirit. You understand? He's such a big man, I wouldn't have been able to push him even if I wanted to. You understand? But God can touch people. Now as we learn to flow in the Spirit, some people will fall, some people will cry, some people will laugh. Whatever the Lord does, let Him do. But it is good to be touched by God. You understand? When God touch you, you will do His work with that supernatural ability. I want to pray for you now in Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Clarissa, the Lord is speaking to you. Appropriate His promises for you. Shireen, I gave you a word just now. The word is, it is time. Lynette, the Lord is pleased with you. You are going to do great and wondrous works. Chris, you are a beginner, right? The Lord says to you, no such thing as beginner's luck, but the Lord will anoint you. Yeah, the burden you have for the cell will be lifted in Jesus' name. But you will do great and wondrous works because the Lord is going to turn things around and the Lord will equip you in ways that will surprise you. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord anoint you. So Ling, the Lord says to you, you are to be that supportive number two. Be a blessing. God, do something in Eddie's life. And we know that for a time such as this, you've surrounded Joe with the people of God. What a blessing. And Father, for Penny, Lord, deal with her, speak to her, begin to open doors so that more things can be done through her life. TG, prepare yourself for a fatherhood like no other. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. And for the rest of us, can we lift our hands before the Lord? The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you. The Lord will be with you. I pray for you to arise. The people of God, to fulfill your potential, to potentiate, because the all the experiences in your life, there's no coincidence in life. Whatever you have gone through will go through. The Lord allows it to happen so that you're prepared for what lies ahead. So as we release you from this place, God bless you. God watch over you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You're dismissed. God bless you. Dawn, can I speak to the couple, your friends? Can you just come forward?